Welcome to the Biology of Trauma podcast, the show that provides professionals with the knowledge and tools for effective, science-based solutions for the trauma healing journey. I am your host, Dr. Amy, and I've done the hard work so you can stop your endless searching, have a roadmap for your own work, and be able to help others more powerfully. Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. We're talking about attachment and adult attachment, exploring how our early experiences shaped the way we connect with others, even today as an adult, and how we earn a secure attachment. Understanding attachment is crucial as it is deeply intertwined with our nervous system, which you will hear about in this episode. Rather than an interview, this episode is me teaching you the concept of attachment beyond the traditional boxes of attachment style. This episode is more about the dynamics of how our attachment formed and what I would call the spectrum of attachment trauma. The one question that I will answer for you in this episode is, as an adult with an insecure attachment, where do I start? We want to earn that secure attachment and we need to know where to start. Here is what you will learn. What are attachment adaptive styles? One major adaptation in early life to inadequate regulation, the role of our autonomic nervous system in attachment, the body experience behind our attachment style, the limitations of certain modalities for the body experience of attachment, and the spectrum of attachment. What is that? The first step for earning a secure attachment as an adult, and how somatic and parts work can be used for adult attachment. And with that, it is
time to talk about attachment. So when we talk about attachment, this is something that we understand. We can understand it through the lens of the nervous system. And given what we know about our nervous system now, wow, we have a totally different lens now that we can use rather than just making boxes and saying that you have to fit into this box or this box or this box. And when we talk about the experiences that we go through, there's no boxes. Like, there's nothing that is rigid about this. It is all about the felt experience that we have and our nervous system trying to figure out, how do I get through this? How do I survive this? And let me try this. Oh, that didn't work. Let me try this. And then it lands on something. And it's like, okay, this is what I have come to the conclusion that it helps me survive. And so this is what I will continue to do. And then that pattern becomes the pattern of our nervous system. So that at the slight sound, at the slight, at anything that reminds our brain and our nervous system of, oh, this feels familiar, it might go that way, then this is what we do. And it's not even at our conscious level anymore. So it becomes us, it becomes our personality without us even knowing that we were different before that was us. So attachment is one of those things that has been seen as relatively rigid. You're either this category or that category. And I will say that given the tools that we have for somatic work, for parts work, for addressing the biology, anything is changeable. The nervous system can rewire. And so, yes, a person can go from being an insecure attachment style to a secure attachment style. They can. No one is stuck in what has been their past, or else we wouldn't be doing this work, right? Then what's the point of us doing this work if we can't change this about ourselves? And so this is where I use the phrase, an earned secure attachment. Earned. Why is it earned? Because it is hard work, right? I may talk about, you know, it being simple, but simple does not mean easy. Simple just means that it's clear what you need to do. You need to create a felt sense of safety for your body, first and foremost. Then you need to create a felt sense of containment and support for your body. Those are simple things, simple, clear, not easy. And that's why when I talk about someone having come out of their child with an insecure attachment, it is hard work to rewire that. So when you get to a place where you've got a secure attachment, that is earned. You have earned that. Hasn't been given to you. Wasn't a free gift. You put in the work to make that happen, which is why when people talk about some of the different modalities that we can use for trauma, and they talk about using EMDR, for example, or neurofeedback. And when it comes to attachment, hey, sure, those can be helpful, but that is not going to actually rewire the nervous system in the body and how it reacts in a visceral way to relationships. It's not touching that part of the nervous system where this has been you. This has been wired so deeply into the fabric of your tissues that it's not something that you can control from your mind standpoint. It's something that you literally have to create a different felt experience in your body and change your biology around it. And it can be done. It's just earned because you're going to put in the work. So the different categories of the attachment styles, there's four that are recognized. And of course, one is the secure attachment. That is extremely rare these days. I would say that I have met two or three people in my life that I could honestly say, I actually think at the end of the day, they were wired from childhood to be truly secure in life. Wow. What must that be like? Because otherwise, after I get to know people for a while, you know, I start to see some of their basic insecurities. Right? And that's normal. There's nothing bad about having an insecure attachment. There is nothing bad about it. But we do need to understand it, because if we want to change it, we need to understand where we're starting from. So that's why it's helpful. So a secure attachment is extremely rare in our society today. So then you have these other three categories. One would be, well, I should say an insecure attachment is kind of broken up into two categories. I totally disagree with this because I think that there is secure and there is insecure. That's it. It manifests differently based on your specific experience and what your resources were at the time to adapt to your environment, but there's either secure or there's insecure. And then when we look at insecure, there's all different kinds of combinations. You don't have to fit into one of these boxes. So the boxes are an anxious, insecure attachment. And this is where a child will not be able to let go. It's like that crying child who always has to be carried. That's the image that comes to mind for an anxious, insecure attachment. And then we have avoidant insecure attachment. And avoidant is that child who couldn't care less, it is quite independent, or at least wants to be, at least tries to be really independent so that they don't need anybody else, that nobody can let them down. It really is that I cannot trust you to take care of me, so I'm going to do it myself. Whereas the anxious insecure is, I need you to take care of me. The avoidant is like, I don't need you. Now, that's not really what's going on underneath the surface, right? That's not what they want, but that's how it presents. And then there's this category of disorganized insecure attachment, where they say that you go back and forth between the two. I think everybody does to some degree, though. And so when I see the labels that they put on disorganized attachment, it really is like really far on the extreme, where we're talking about things that I would consider like attachment disorder, reactive attachment disorder, that disorganized and all over the place. Whereas for most people, again, like we don't necessarily only fall into one box. We have a predominant category that we would identify with, absolutely, 100%. But there's more to that. There's more to that. And at the end of the day, we are still dealing with a nervous system that is desperately searching for a sense of safety and security. And it's always out of reach. This then becomes like this lifelong quest to, well, if I get that, if I get to that place in life, if I have this, if I do this, then I will be happy. Then I will have everything that I need. Then I will feel complete. And so let me just pause there for a second, process some of this stuff. So when I think of how they even came up with these categories of the attachment styles, it really helps inform me on what was the original experience, perhaps, right? That led to this developing and becoming our nervous system. And one thing has been very clear in all of the research that's been done on attachment is that there is the strongest influence is the mother's nervous system. And while we can wish it were different, those are the principles of the human body and how we develop. And so everything starting from in utero, mom's nervous system is already starting to get transferred over. And what happens is that babies are so, I want to say malleable, right? Their primary function in the first several years of life is just to learn about this environment that they've been brought into. And so they're taking in everything. They're taking in everything. And that's informing their nervous system about how it needs to adapt in order to survive. And so attachment, one's attachment style is only an adaptation to their early environment that helped them survive. And all of the information from its environment helped inform it what it needed to adapt to in order to survive. So in utero, I feel mom's heartbeat and it's going fast. Oh, this must be a scary world. There must be a lot of danger out there because if mom is always this stressed out, oof, I better get ready, right? And so the nervous system already starts to adapt to an environment that it sees as stressful simply because it's inferring that from mom's nervous system. And you'll notice that what is normal, at least, right? Is for babies, when there's a loud noise, when there's something that happens, they will always look to mom first. That is their startle response. What is mom doing? How is mom reacting to that? Oh, she's smiling. Okay, Whew, and you can see them relax. Whereas if they look over to mom and they see mom stressed, they see mom overwhelmed, they see mom exhausted and fatigued and not responding at all, then those are the types of information that they start to adapt to their environment on how they should respond to things. So let's take a few examples and start to see how this then develops into an actual, you know, attachment style, personality. And we can take any example. We can take even just an example of, I mean, anything, right? Anything. Stay-at-home mom who is busy, right? Who's busy? One of the most important things about attachment is this ability for them to be regulated. I think you guys have been around me long enough. That word should make some more sense to you. This ability to shift our own nervous system into more of a parasympathetic state. It's It's called regulation and keeping ourselves within that window of tolerance. That's regulation. A baby has absolutely no capacity to do that for themselves. Absolutely no capacity to do that for themselves. And so one of the major adaptations that can happen is that if they do not get enough of that regulation from their environment, from their parents, from mom, dads can play a huge role in this though as well, then a baby is left with its nervous system feeling out of control. And I don't know about you, right? But when our nervous system feels out of control, it can only sustain that for so long. And then what does it do? Goes into the freeze, right? Feeling out of control, you either need to get in control or you need to not care that you're not in control. And so that feeling of, oof, like my system is out of control, then that is what will start this pattern of going into the freeze response. And so people can come out of childhood with very strong pull towards the freeze response, and yet there was never any abuse. There was never any trauma. How did I come away with my childhood with an insecure attachment? Why do I have a strong pull towards the freeze response? There's always family issues, but there was never any big stuff like other people. So why me? Well, right there, that's enough of a reason. Right there. If the amount of connection, regulation that you experienced was not enough for your system, it would have been overwhelming as a baby, and you would have gone into that freeze response in order to shut that down. Get a break from that panic feeling of I'm out of control. And so that would be a big reason for people going into a avoidant, insecure type of style. But then you've got another scenario where there is a lot of contact. There's a lot of maybe physical proximity, right? Like mom is always around or someone is always around, and they're just not fully tuned into baby. And so there's this element of, I feel like it's just right there, right? Like just right there. Mom is just right there. And if I could just get her attention, she would give me the regulation that I need. And so they continue to do things that will get more attention. And they don't necessarily go into the freeze as much because they feel like, oh, it's just right there. It's right there. She's right there. She's just on the phone. Let me bang my spoon harder on the counter. Let me throw my plate on the floor now. How can I get more attention? Because it's just right there. Whereas if it's not there at all, that's where it tends to be more of the avoidant and the checking out. And by not there at all, that's not necessarily physically right there at all. It's emotionally, right? So this is where a mom with a strong pull towards the freeze response, baby's trying to make that connection, and there's just nothing there because mom is in a freeze response. So this is where mom can actually be holding the baby, can actually be doing all of the right things, but mom is emotionally not there in that relationship. And those are all the things that come across non-verbally, subconsciously, that baby is picking up all of that. So again, there's nothing bad about this. This is just how babies are designed to take everything from their environment to inform them on how they should adapt in order to best survive life. And so there's certainly like a spectrum, right? And some people are further down the spectrum of insecure attachment, and some people are not as far down that spectrum, which is another reason why I don't like the boxes, right? It's a spectrum, and it's more I see it more as just an adaptation. And what was the experience that then created that adaptation? And I will say that for me personally, I came out of my childhood with a very strong avoidant insecure attachment. And it's been amazing. It's been so amazing for me to be able to see how I can have a better future, a better relationships by being able to rewire this stuff. Because otherwise, like, you'll just continue the patterns and you'll probably, I would normally, based on research, avoidants tend to attach themselves to another insecure attachment style. And usually it's an anxious attachment style. Two avoidants together don't tend to even ever make it, right? So it's usually this combination of an avoidant and an anxious, and then they butt heads their whole entire relationship because one feels like I need you more. And the other one is the more you need me, the more I want to go away. So this is one of the values, but then also we can look at all of the physical health conditions and symptoms and diseases that come out of these two things. And certainly with the avoidant insecure attachment, there's much more of the autoimmune type of things. Then the anxious have their stuff. My goodness, they've got their stuff. But this is a place for us to start. And we can see this in terms of parts of us that adapted to our environment, right? Parts of us that adapted. That's what all of our parts are. All of our parts are there as a result of an experience that we have had that we had to adapt to, other than our true self. Our true self is above all of that.
There was a reason you were meant to listen to this today. I don't know what that reason is, but I'm guessing you do by now. Who in your life would also be interested in learning about the autonomic nervous system, this spectrum of attachment, and the possibilities for earning a secure attachment? Yes, even as an adult. Share this podcast episode with them. And thank you. Thank you for joining me on this episode. In the show notes, I have two of my most popular attachment guides. These will allow you to dig deeper into specific areas that we did not cover in this episode. I will also provide you with a few additional resources, but let me tell you about these guides. The Attachment Trauma Roadmap. This is where you will learn more about the biology of attachment. And so you will learn more details of the roadmap towards a secure attachment by addressing the biology of how attachment has become wired into us. Attachment Pain is the second guide. This is a guide where I show you the six different attachment pains based on our biology from development. And here you go, the health conditions related to each of the attachment pains. I will include a YouTube video. You can head over to YouTube, watch this video on what you need first before processing your childhood trauma. So starting with attachment is not the best place, especially if you have a chronic health condition where opening up too fast is still too much too fast for our body. Head over to YouTube. I'll have the link in the show notes, what you need first before processing your childhood trauma. And then since we're talking about the biology of attachment trauma, we really need to have tools to support our body on a cellular level. When we have had attachment stress, attachment trauma, when we have one of the six attachment pains, our body has been under stress for a really, really long time, since before we can remember. And we need to be able to know how to support our body so that we're working at the cellular level, at the root level, and not just on a superficial level that involves our emotions or our thoughts. Where to start? There will be more things for you. And if you want, you can have a biology of trauma attachment focused health coaching session. If you want a great place to start, I'll have a link to the magnesium. Magnesium is a nutrient that often gets depleted. It's one of the most common functional deficiencies in the Western world. And it's no surprise because it's related to stress and chronic stress as the body is using up a lot of magnesium for all of the functions that it does to keep us alive. There is a dedicated space in the show notes for leaving a comment or a question on this episode. And don't forget to share this with a friend. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. And until next episode, lots of love. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to subscribe We definitely will learn, laugh, and sometimes cry together on this healing journey, and you won't want to miss an episode. Give my podcast 5 stars, share it with a friend or colleague. If you felt an impact, as it truly helps get the word out and breaking the paradigm of how we do trauma work. I look forward to seeing you back here next week. Until then, this is your host, Dr. Amy, sending you lots of love.